This week, we're going to talk about reimagine evangelism. Reimagine evangelism. In 2006, I went on staff at a church in Fair Oaks called New Life Community Church. I went on there as the communications director, some kind of director of community development or something like that. They didn't have the funds to bring me on as a pastor, and I was just wanting to get back into ministry, being out at that time for about 2 years, and had got on staff. And in my first week, they said, "Dean, we need you to go to Ireland." And I was like, "Oh, really? That's awesome. I love missions trips." I said, "When are we going?" And the next 6 months, they said, "No, next week." And I was like, "Next week, I got to get a passport." And so I had to hustle. I had to go the day before we took off from San Francisco. I had to go to San Francisco the day before, if you've ever done that. I know Pastor Isaiah has recently, but I didn't have my passport, so they only let you go the day before you're going to leave. And so I was down there all day, got it, went on the team. We had probably about a team of 20 people, and we go over to Ireland to help this awesome church, and we had two teams. One team was the construction team. The other team was the street evangelism team. And myself and the youth pastor, we were overseeing the street evangelism team. And before we had kind of prepared, you know, we threw a couple of human videos together. You guys know what human videos are? They're kind of like dramas to music, you know. And, you know, I brought my guitar, and we had a couple people that could really sing. We thought we'd use those maybe at a service or something that we do, or here and there, wherever they needed us. And so we get there and we say, "Well, you know, what do you guys have for us to do?" And we thought maybe they'd have some things planned. And they said, "Actually, you guys are going to be going out on the street corner for 4 hours a day." And I was like, "Really?" Right? Now, you got to know Cork, Ireland, is not like going to a third world nation. It's like going to downtown Sacramento and setting shop on, you know, J and 16th and singing hallelujah choruses, all right? How you know that's probably not going to be received too well, right? We've got our thoughts about those people, right? And so here we are in Cork, Ireland, a modern nation. And this church, they have their method, man. They're married to their method, and there was no deviating from the method at all. And so they're like 4 hours street ministry, preaching. Yeah, you're out there. And so here we go. I look at the youth pastor. I say, "We can do this." And so we take our two songs and our two human videos, and we stretch it out. I mean, we're just doing our best to stretch things out. And we're actually, as we're doing it the first time, we're going into it, we notice that people aren't happy about us being there. In fact, people were actually cursing us. They were cussing us out. They were in our face. And we're not talking, I wasn't preaching hellfire and brimstone. I was just singing hallelujah with a smile on my face. And they just didn't appreciate my ministry. And so I had some experience and some other approaches. But again, this church was married. They said that we couldn't deviate from the way they did things. And so I actually waited till they left. Actually, we're in the middle of doing these human videos, and I am not a talented guitarist, nor is anybody interested in hearing me play. But in the middle of all this kind of people just going by, just kind of snubbing their nose at us, a radio station out of nowhere comes and gets a big case of apples, you know, the big box of apples, and they put them right down in front of us, and they leave. And then all of a sudden, people just started flocking, taking apples, and then kind of sticking around to see what we had to say or what we were doing. I was like, "Thank God for 92.9, right? And so I noticed that as we gave something, as we offered something for free, it actually kind of calmed down the chaos. People weren't so upset. They weren't my apples, but I believe God brought those apples just for us, right? The apples, I'm telling you, this case of apples went so quick. And I looked at the youth pastor, I said, we need more. I said, go get bottled water. We need bottled. We're going to pass out bottled waters. And so we scrapped our human videos. We scrapped the, you know, Dean singing hallelujah. We scrapped all of that. And we got water bottles, and we began to pass out water bottles in the name of Jesus. Come on. And we got into real conversations. People were willing to listen to us because our approach was different. Reimagining, this is in your notes, reimagining our methods isn't compromise. It's actually a sign that we are connected to the creative power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit can give us new concepts and ideas around existing concepts and ideas that are not working. I've been so impressed with Pastor Michelle, who actually just a few weeks ago had a men's Nerf night. How many men went to the Nerf night? We had 50 fathers, grandpas, uncles, men just standing in for dads, for boys without dads. We had them come, and we had 50 guys in here. The chairs were cleared out, man, and they were shooting each other up, right? Just reimagining, thinking out of the box. And then just a couple weeks ago, she reimagined, you know, how are we going to minister to moms and their daughters? And she said, you know, we're going to have a paint night. And so we had about 75 moms and their daughters here painting. It was an incredible thing. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't short on ideas. The Holy Spirit isn't short on new concepts. He wants to release to his church, he wants to release to his people new ideas, new concepts, new vision, new dreams, so we can reach our community. Our key verse that we've been meditating on during this series is 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, it says, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But you don't stop there, because it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us deep secrets. How does he do this? Verse 12, you can skip there. It says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. How many know God doesn't call us to be copycats? He is the originator of every idea. He is the originator. He is the creator. And so we don't have to copy the world. Hello? We don't have to copy the world, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We've received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And I've challenged you with the statement of, how many free things are there in heavenly places that God's people have not taken advantage of? Today, I want to challenge us to reimagine evangelism. But before we reimagine it, let's define it. This is in an English dictionary. This is the definition. It's the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. This oversimplified definition is what I believe locks many of us up when it comes to outreach or evangelism or being a personal witness for Christ. You see, I don't know about you, but it freaks most people out, and it gets one or two responses. Because let's be honest, nobody wants to be a Bible thumper, right? Nobody wants to be out on the corner like I was in Cork, Ireland, right? All alone, getting cursed at, right? But generally, this definition gets two responses, and it's this. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a communicator. I hate speaking in front of people, so count me out. God didn't call me to be evangelist, right? God didn't call me to evangelist. Therefore, I'm off the hook. But how many of you know that is not biblical? Evangelism is both, in your notes, the personal responsibility of every Christian and the public demonstration, listen, of God's power. Listen, not what we can do, but what He is doing. So listen, when I take my personal responsibility to share my faith, listen, it's not my responsibility for God to show up. It's His responsibility for Him, for His presence to come and do what He wants to do in that person's life. You see, God has given us, every one of us, the mandate to be a witness. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a witness. You see, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to reimagine evangelism in every way so that we can share the good news with people everywhere. Let me just say that again. The Holy Spirit longs to empower His church to reimagine evangelism in every way so that we can share the good news with people everywhere. How many know the good news is good news everywhere? It is good news to everyone. Acts chapter 1 verses 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Why? You will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Come on, locally in your community, locally, citywide, nationally, statewide, worldwide, you will be my witnesses. This is in Pastor Dean's book of definitions, but evangelism defined by me is this: God's people sharing the good news in good ways that leads people to trust in a good God. God's people sharing good news in good ways that leads people to trust in a good God. This is why, like that church in Ireland, and it was a great church and a great pastor, we can't be married to the methodology. How many know we need to be married to the message? But we don't have to be married to the methodology because God is doing new things all the time. When I was a youth pastor, I had a lot of zeal to win the world without a lot of wisdom. And man, I was evangelistic. I was going to reach every dean because I had gotten saved when I was a teenager, and I was going to save every teenager in Sonoma County. And so I was working with my friend Donnie Burleson. He had a great ministry to young people. He would come in, he would do assemblies, and then on Wednesday nights, we would invite all the youth out to come and descend usually upon a church, but our church was too small. And so I actually had rented the school theater there, right there on Mendocino Avenue at Santa Rosa High School. And so anyway, I went from school to school, and I was just sharing, like, hey, we've got this great free event that we're sponsoring, and we'd love to come in. And man, I had every school on there, and I'd say, and then on Wednesday night, we invite them out to a free rally. Well, one of the things I forgot to disclose was that these rallies on Wednesday nights were faith-based. So generally what happens is, you know, you go in, they tell you can't preach Jesus or share your faith in the school rally, but when they come out to that Wednesday night, right, when they come out to the Wednesday night, which is usually at a church, you can do what you want, right? But since the school had given me the venue, the theater, they leased out that theater, it still applied. Right? And so we get into seven schools. I mean, it is phenomenal. I mean, just amazing things are happening. And we get that Wednesday night. We had been in seven schools from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, leading up to the event. And we get there, and I'm just telling you guys, it is chaos. I mean, it was like every school showed up, told their friends about it, and they showed up. People were jammed. They couldn't get in the theater. They were mad because they couldn't get in. They were mad because we ran out of pizza. They were just, they were upset. They were upset before the event even got started. And so my friend's in there, and you know, we're doing all our things. We've got these sumo wrestler suits to kind of open up the event. And, you know, they're braying. Kids are laughing and going crazy. And my friend gets up there, who's a really great musician. He gets up there. He kind of gets them going. And then my friend gets up to speak and present the gospel, but nobody is listening. I mean, nobody is listening. And so he does one of his old tricks. He looks up into the balcony, and again, there's over 750 kids just jammed in here. And he looks up to the balcony, and it's just an old trick that he had. And he just points at anybody, and he says, "Hey, you in the hat, shut up." Unfortunately, it was one of my youth leaders. But he says, "Hey, you up there in the back, shut up and pay attention." Well, little did he know, there were a lot of parents there. So when he said, "Shut up," Mama stood up and said, "Who are you telling to shut up, right?" You guys, I was like, oh, no. I mean, it didn't go well, right? He gets through the message. He has an altar call. We did have like 200 kids show up, right? But here's the thing. We burn a lot of bridges. The next day, you guys, the music pastor busts in my office. He said, "Did you see the paper?" I said, "The paper?" He said, "Yeah, the Press Democrat." He said, "The church has hit the front news." Oh, the headlines. How many of you don't want those kind of headlines? You see, my evangelism was all about winning, not planting. My evangelism was all about reaping a harvest and not cultivating long-lasting relationships. My evangelism was all about the event, not a lifestyle. And so unintentionally, I burned a few bridges in Sonoma County. You see, my approach to evangelism had to shift from getting instant results to understanding God's process of sowing, watering, and reaping. And that's what I want to show you as we reimagine evangelism today. In the scriptures, our key passages today are 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 says this: "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Here's some key things. Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. "But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord." Come on. Mason talked about that, right? How many know we want our wildernesses to be over by Wednesday? "But God's promises are yes and amen, and they endure forever." In other words, if you don't live, your promises will outlive you. Yes, they will. Your promises will outlive you, and if you don't see your promises fulfilled, here's the thing. Your kids inherit those promises, and they will see them fulfilled. And if they don't see them fulfilled, your great-grandkids, come on, will see them fulfilled. "Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news." Here's the key. Work. Everybody say work. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So how do we reimagine evangelism? My first point in your weekly notes there is we are servants, not celebrities. We are servants, not celebrities. Social media has really poured fuel on what I call celebrity Christianity. But as we reimagine evangelism, we must care more about making sure we're on the front lines as a church instead of the headlines as a church. Come on. I don't care about the headlines if we ain't doing anything. I don't care about the headlines. I don't care about who's who. I don't care about who you're with. I don't care how famous you are if you're not doing anything. As a church, we must be more concerned with the front lines. And a lot of times, the front lines, when I talk about the front lines, you're in the trenches. where nobody sees you, where nobody sees your sweat equity, where nobody sees your blood, sweat, and tears, the front lines, not the headlines. The Corinthian church, talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they found themselves in a place of disunity. I'm just giving you a little background to that passage or the verses that I read. They found themselves in disunity, which, by the way, is a huge sign of immaturity, because they were boasting about whose ministry they got saved under rather than boasting in Christ. It would be like people in our church saying, well, I got saved under Pastor Scott Hagen. And then somebody who's new these last 16 months, I got saved under Pastor Dean's ministry. And they were literally, listen, arguing about who they got saved under or whose disciples they were. And I told you that verse last week that John the Baptist disciples were in the same thing. They were doing the same thing. They're fighting, who's this dude? Jesus? He's baptizing John. And John said, you know what? He recognized his season. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Paul was bringing correction by saying in 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, we are just servants through whom you believed. Paul was saying, this isn't about pedigree. This is about you encountering the power of the good news through servant leaders. And here's what I want to communicate to you this morning. When it comes to evangelism, on our best day, we are servants. On our best day, listen, if somebody comes to know the Lord, whether it's a seed sowing event, a soil watering event, or a harvest event where we see a bunch of people come to know Jesus on a Sunday morning, listen, on our greatest day, we are just servants. Servant leaders give Jesus Christ all the credit. And Paul made it clear throughout his ministry that it wasn't his credentials which he had, it was Christ and Christ alone. You see, a key to effective evangelism in our community is seeing ourselves as servants, not celebrities, and walking and living out servanthood. You see, one of the most effective ways to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ today is through real and relevant acts of service. How many know when we serve, how many know Jesus can make it really real? How many know when we serve, listen, we open doors that we may never walk through any other way? When we lower ourselves, listen, when we humble ourselves and we humbly come and we say, how can I serve you? How many know that is the pathway? Listen, that is the pathway to influence. It's through real and relevant acts of service. Honest, compassionate service can restore credibility to the message of the good news we have to share. It's the model Jesus used. He served. He met needs. And listen, then people listened. Then people listened. When we humble ourselves and become servants, our approach to evangelism will go from being abrasive to attractive. There's something different about you. I've never seen anything like that. Even this last Sunday at the Creekside Fair, it was awesome just to see some of our city leaders. And I'm not just talking about Angelique, but some of our city leaders just saying, man, that church is awesome. Man, that church is showing up. Man, and what are we doing? We're realistically just showing up. We're just saying yes to what God is putting in front of us. Also, seeing ourselves as servants when it comes to evangelism is so important because ultimately, being an outward-focused church is hard work. How many know he said the harvest is plentiful, but the what? He said the laborers are few. He said, I can't find anybody to employ. He said, because it's work, right? How many know we're co-laborers with Christ? You see, this is in your notes. Getting a harvest is hard work because a lot of time we're dealing with hard ground. We're dealing with ground that hasn't been plowed. And I would just say to you, what's happening in the natural is happening in the spiritual. They just broke ground on this Fortune 500 company, and how many know they've got to till that hard ground? That field has been laying vacant for a long time, and they've got to till the ground. I would just say it's very true for a church like Real Life or any church in Natomas. Listen, the field has been lying vacant. Listen, it's been lying still for a long, long time, and we must be faithful to plow. We must be faithful to turn it over. We must be faithful to water it and get it ready for the harvest that is coming. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, I love what he says. He says, work. Everybody say work. Work at telling others the good news. He could have just said, tell others the good news. But he said, work. Work at telling others the good news. I looked up the word work in the Greek. It means the idea of working. It's the idea of working is emphasized as an act, deed, or a thing done. In other words, a reimagined evangelism is actively serving and telling others the good news at the same time. Do you hear what I said? If we're working to tell the good news, we're serving and we're telling at the same time. You see, we're going to have to get our hands dirty if we want to make a long-lasting impact in our community. Leads me to my second point there in your notes. We have to pursue assignments, not achievements. Assignments, not achievements. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, as the Lord assigned to each. 2 Timothy 4 and 5, he says, fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. Paul is talking about assignments, not achievements. We're so conditioned in our culture to achieve. If we're not careful, we're going to miss what's been assigned. When we are responsible, listen, for our assignments as a people. Listen, I have assignments, you have assignments, and as a body, we have assignments. Are you guys with me? When we are responsible for our assignments, God, here's the cool thing, God will take care of the results. He'll take care of the achievements. All we have to do is identify the assignments that He's given us. One of those assignments, I look back and I see Spencer Hagen there. One of the assignments that God has given, listen, Spencer, and because he's given to a Spencer and he's a part of this church, I just say it's our assignment. Hello? And that assignment that he's given him, we're behind that assignment. Amen? When we're responsible for our assignments, God will take care of the results. And we're seeing incredible things happening on Endercomb and Natomas High School because someone said yes to their assignment. You guys hear me? So there's three things really that Paul reveals in this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Three assignments in reimagining public and personal evangelism, and I wanted to illustrate it to you. He says, we're servants, right? And then he says, we've got assignments. So every servant has an assignment, amen? Tell your neighbor, you're a servant, and you have an assignment. And Paul goes on to say, to reveal this process, and if we're not careful, we'll skip right over it. But he says, you know what? He says, there are seed planters. You've got to have seed. How many know seed doesn't cost a whole lot of money? Right here are some cantaloupe seeds I bought from Sprouts for $2.29. But listen, if we don't take time to put seed in the ground, how many know we will never get a harvest? Listen, we love the harvest, hallelujah. We love a good orange, amen. But listen, it's hard to see the harvest if you haven't taken time to plant the seed. And Paul reveals it. He says, you've got to put seed in the ground. He said, you've got to water the seed. And he said, then you're going to see your harvest. It leads me just to three assignments I just want to give you. As we reimagine evangelism, I want you to see yourself in one of these three roles. Because a lot of times we just give credit to the reaper and we overlook the planter. We love the harvester, come on, but we missed out. We overlooked the waterer, the one who took care of the plants, right? The first role, as we reimagine evangelism, are seed planters. Listen, we can't harvest something we haven't taken time to put in the ground. For thousands of years, the Judean palm tree, or date palm tree, it was one of the most recognizable trees in all of the Middle East. It was cultivated throughout the region for their sweet fruit and for the cool shade they offered from the blazing desert sun. But sadly, around 500 AD, during the Roman Empire conquest, they just razed all those trees. All those trees were driven right into extinction. And during the excavations of this site of Herod the Great's palace in Israel in the early 1960s, archaeologists unearthed a small stockpile of seeds stowed in a clay jar dating back 2,000 years. And for the next, so they find these seeds in this jar, right? And they put it in a drawer. For the next 40 years, the ancient seeds were kept in a drawer at Tel Aviv's Bar-Ilan University. But in 2005, a researcher named Elaine Salawi decided to plant one just to see if anything would sprout. She said, "I assumed the food in the seed would not be good after all this time. How could it be?" But she was soon proven very wrong. Amazingly, the multi-millennial seed did indeed sprout, producing a sapling no one had seen in centuries, becoming the oldest known seed to germinate. Why do I tell you that story? Listen, we have to get seed in the ground. And it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to get seed in the ground. 229. And then I showed up this morning, listen, at Safeway, and these cost me $6.99 a bag. I'm going to plant my own harvest. Hello? But we have to get seed in the ground. We have to be seed planters. There's power in planting a seed. How many know you have to sow something in order for God to grow something? You see, the last 16 months, we've been planting seeds of vision. We've been planting seeds of hope, seeds of encouragement, seeds of kindness, seeds of faithfulness, seeds of love in action. And this week, as I mentioned earlier in announcements, we seen one of those seeds. Listen, after we were watering the seed, we watered the seed. Come on, and something sprouted this Wednesday. Something came up this Wednesday. Something sprouted. It was Love Natomas. Last year, we were wearing those T-shirts. God downloaded that idea, Love Natomas, and he said, "Dean, I want you to bring churches together under one umbrella," because how many know, it's the Bible says, by our love. Come on, by our love for one another, I will prove to this world. Come on. I shared that verse with you last week. And we've been planting seeds of love for the last 16 months. And we've just seen our first plant shoot up this Wednesday. A plant shoot, which is that what you see right there, or even smaller than that. I just wanted you to see it. A plant shoot is the new growth from seed germination that grows upward. It's the first stem that springs forth from the ground. And so this Wednesday, we've been working on it for about 6 weeks or so. We invited 30 churches right here, all the pastors from Natomas, right here last Wednesday. We had 15 say yes. We had many more say, "I'm sorry I can't make it, but I want to be there." 15 came. We fed them lunch. Come on, how many know you got to feed pastors? Come on, you got to feed pastors lunch. Man, they came with their wives. It was an incredible thing. But here's the awesome thing. Here's the awesome thing. Each one of them, as they came in, we gave them a Love Natomas bag, two Love Natomas T-shirts, a book on servant evangelism. Come on. And listen, We gave, we sowed into each pastor, this church, because of your generosity, we sowed a date night into each and every one of those couples. Come on. Why do I tell you that? Listen, you can talk about unity all you want, but if you're not sowing unity, you're not getting unity. You can say it's a good idea if we all come together, but listen, if you don't sow a seed why we should come together, it's not going to happen. Out of those 15 pastors, we had Angelique Ashby come. We had Eric Young come from Loving Our Cities. We were just together an hour and 15 minutes. We had pastors in this community who've lived here for 20 years and 15 years meet each other for the first time. Why? Because that is an assignment that the Lord has given me, and he's given it because he's given it to me. He's given it to you, and you are a part of that. Listen, when you are sowing, listen, and it could be financial seed, it could be your time, it could be your talent. When you're sowing into real life, come on, you're sowing it into our assignment. I cannot do it alone. Our staff cannot do it alone. This was an amazing thing that happened. Why? Because you said, Pastor Dean, we love the seed that you're planting in the ground, and we're going to be faithful to water that seed. And God, listen, something sprung forth this Wednesday. Pastor after pastor texted me and said, thank you so much for giving us that date night. Imagine that. Thank you so much for giving us that date night, Pastor. I'm all in. Count me in. Out of the 15 churches that were able to come, 11 said, we're all in. We're all in. How many of you know that's, you can't do that on your own, you guys. I've been doing this for years. God has always, for whatever reason, he's put that anointing on my life to bring pastors together. And I'm just telling you, it has never happened like this. Why? Because God is wanting to do something, come on, in the fields of Natomas. Come on, somebody. And so 2019, the tentative date is May 4th. We're going to have a big day of service on that weekend. Could you imagine what will happen? Listen, when 15 churches come together, businesses, schools, we all come together and we say, we're going to love Natomas completely for one entire weekend. Eric Young from Loving Our Cities has done this now in 60 cities. Listen, they've seen over 150,000 people get involved. Listen, they have saved cities hours and hours upon hours of service. They've saved cities a total of approximately $14 million. How many know God has given that to us as an assignment? It's an assignment. It leads me to my second point there. There's seed planters. Come on, we're just planting seed, right? How many of you got $229 in your pocket right now? Sowing seed is easy. It's not hard. It's not expensive, but the second role there is a soil waterer. You see, there's no harvest in a field that hasn't been tended to or cultivated. What I want you to see is all of this process is evangelism. But we, listen, as a church, we make it all about the harvest. Come on, we'll sow into the harvest. Come on, I've seen ministries roll into town, cost millions of dollars to put on a crusade, they leave, and there went your harvest too, right? I'm just saying, it's awesome and everything, but it's a proven fact that 85% of you in this room came to Christ through a relationship, not a crusade. Hello? Listen, if you came through Christ through a friend inviting you to church, will you stand up? Someone inviting you to church, somebody talking to you at work. That's 50%. Probably. Y'all may be seated. If you came to faith in a Billy Graham crusade or a crusade like that, please stand. Not discounting one of the two at all. Incredible. But you see the difference? Both are important. Listen, yet we focus more of our time right here. And I would just dare to say, listen, your harvest, our harvest as a church, as we reimagine evangelism, as we reimagine outreach, it depends what we put on the ground, what we cultivate. How many of you see this little orange right here? It's an orange just like one of those, but it's not ripe for the reaping yet. It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be watered. It can't be reaped before it's time. We want to get to this point. See, so many people are worried about me making altar calls on Sunday morning. Let me just tell you, the new altar call, I just made a horror flick right there. Altar culture, you know, whatever. The new altar call, listen, is your office desk. The new altar call is the tailgate at the construction site. The new altar call, listen, is in the boardroom right in the center of the marketplace. Listen, you could come to Sundays and say, you know what, he didn't do an altar call. But listen, if there's no seed in the ground, if you're not inviting new folks to church, if you're not bringing your friends, there's no harvest. Guys doing all right? You see, evangelism is most often a process than an instant response. We want it to be instant. Pastor Dean, how many got saved? Three? Oh. Three. The heaven. Come on. The Bible says when one person gives their son, we're like disappointed if somebody gives their life to Jesus, right? And again, it goes back to social media, and I'm tuned into what my friends are doing, Ben Daly and all that. I love what God is doing, but listen, I can take you back in Ben's story, and I can show you all the seed that he sowed. I can show you all the watering that he's done to get the 300-plus baptism they see every time that they do them. But you've got to be faithful when putting the seed in the ground, because evangelism, listen, is a process. It's more of a process than an instant response. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered. We need to ask ourselves, God, what seed has been planted that I can cultivate? God, what's in the ground that I can water? 16 months ago, that's how I came to Natomas. I'm not that guy coming in or riding on my high horse saying, man, we're going to take this city for Jesus. I believe we can. I believe we will. But it's a lot of work. We need laborers. We need people to say yes to what he's calling us to do, yes to their assignments. You see, I don't want to recreate the wheel, but the Holy Spirit will help us to reimagine our neighborhood. He'll help us to reimagine our community, our state, our nation, our world. You see, when you understand that evangelism is a process that God oversees, come on, you guys notice that? Let's look back at that verse. It says this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. I'm getting to it. It says, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the growth. God gave the increase. God gave the growth. You see, when you understand evangelism is a process that God oversees, there's no pressure to close the deal. No, we have an opportunity to cultivate the divine. You guys hear what I'm saying? Listen, this is why spiritual gifts are so valuable, that we must think about spiritual gifts differently. I'm going to preach about this in the new year, by the way. But listen, we are so wrapped up in, and the spiritual gifts are for the church. They are for the body. They are for one another, but they're also for evangelism. How many know the Bible can, the Holy Spirit can tell you something about somebody that you wouldn't have any idea of, right? The Spirit of God can reveal things to you about people. Hey, I just sensed the Lord telling me that you've had a rough day. Who told you that? In fact, that's not at all he told me, but he just told me A, B, C, D. Who in the, right? I didn't say it. No, right. But what's that look like? What's cultivating and watering? What does that look like? It looks like faithfulness. It looks like consistency. It looks like we just keep showing up. It looks like I'm not here because there's something in it for me. I'm here as a witness to my community. You might not know who I am, but I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here when everybody else is gone. That's what watering is. I think of St. Paul's over there in Del Paso Heights. I think of meeting Pastor Joyner. I'm just telling you, that relationship is still going on. But I think of someone like Kathy Williams. Kathy, where are you at? Kathy's right here. I think of Kathy Williams right here, who has a heart There's nobody in this church that has a bigger heart for the homeless and the broken and the broken down and the destitute than this woman right here. And listen, I'm just telling you, listen, there's been a lot of, we started that and we're going to rally around St. Paul's again, but this lady right here, she shows up every Wednesday for the last 16 months. She has showed up. She's put out boxes. She's put out bags. She's done everything. She just keeps showing up. Faithfulness, consistency. I'm not going anywhere, Pastor Joyner. I'm going to be right here for it. She's been frustrated. She's like, Pastor Dean, you got to come help us. She's been there through all that. This month, next month, November, we're going to do something different. Last year we went out, our Gray Wolves, and they cooked all the chicken, and we put it in styrofoam boxes, and people ate it on the ground all around. They just found a spot on the ground, and they ate it. We passed out 500 turkeys in food boxes. We got all those ready. We're going to do the same thing again, but we're going to do the distribute. We're going to give a hot meal differently this year. Last week, I went out, 2 weeks ago, I went out and I measured a tent. We're going to pop up a banquet hall. Come on. And we're going to treat these people with dignity. We're going to treat these people like they deserve to be treated. And as a church, listen, we're not coming as celebrities. Look, we're not coming from celebrities from North Natomas. We're coming as servants to serve Del Paso Heights. Listen, and we're going to get our tables, the tables in the warehouse. Come on, we're going to set up tables, and we're going to decorate these tables, and we're going to ask these broken folks to sit down and allow us to serve them a hot Thanksgiving meal instead of giving them in a styrofoam box. The Gowers, you say, well, you know, anybody can go feed the homeless. You take the Gowers back here. Tom, you're back there. I see you, buddy. Tom, man, faithful guy. Tom Gower, him and his wife, as people were with long line of food, they put their spiritual gifts to work. They started going up to people. They just said, how can I pray for you? They started praying. God started giving them words. They started laying hands on people, praying for healing. Come on, that's where we need to be. That's where the spiritual gifts need to be released. Come on, we're serving somebody. Come on, we're serving them. Come on, something in the natural, and we're serving them something in the supernatural that money can't buy. Come on. It's 10:30, and I went too long. My last point is this. We need to focus. The third point there is soul reapers. I'm going to keep this short, but there's only a harvest when the planter and the waterer have been faithful in their assignment. You see, we get excited about the reaping, and we should, but let's not overlook the work of the planter and the water. Leads me to my last point. We need to focus on eternal rewards, not earthly results. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Verse 7, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Only God who gives the increase. Only God who gives the harvest. You see, reaping a harvest is God's supernatural work. Listen, nothing happens supernaturally without prayer. That's why I'm so excited what happened these last several weeks right here at Real Life. You see, it's when we see God's supernatural work in the harvest, that's when God puts his super on our natural. Amen? It's when God puts his demand on the seed that we planted. It's when God changes a person's life that we've taken time to cultivate a relationship with. That's what God's supernatural harvest looks like. You see, we have to understand that planting seeds, watering the soil, reaping a harvest are all evangelism. Some might say, well, I just don't see how passing out candy at Treat Street on Halloween could lead anyone to Jesus. Well, the key is you might not see it, but maybe that piece of candy is a seed to get a family to come to church. Maybe that seed, listen, is a candy for that child to say, I want to go to children's church at Real Life. Maybe that candy is a seed. Yes, I'm asking for 36 more cars. Come on. 36 more cars. I need y'all to sign up for Treat Street. Come on. Amy and I are going to decorate our car like the Cookie Monster. Come on. Maybe those 81 backpacks that Pastor James Alexander worked so hard to put together and take to American Lakes Elementary was planting a seed for us to cultivate open doors in the future in South Natomas. I'm believing God, listen, for a third service in South Natomas. Oh, yeah, I am. Now I'm scaring you. Come on. Maybe the balloons we blew up last Saturday and the inflatables we provided was cultivating and watering someone's hope that was planted by a family member. You see, modern-day evangelists, and that's what we all are in this room, they keep their eyes on eternal rewards and trust God with the earthly results. Listen, you can't get discouraged by what you don't see because there's something happening in eternity. There's something happening in a world that we cannot grasp, that we cannot see. Listen, do not doubt. Do not doubt what is happening in the unseen realm. John 4, 37 and 38, and I close with this. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. I close with this last point. I'm going to ask you to stand. Servanthood positions us to plant a seed strategically, water the soil faithfully, and reap a harvest abundantly.